We have reason to rejoice this morning for several reasons. The first one is we're not the group at home this morning with really unpleasant symptoms. So there's a lot of people, a lot of families, a lot of kids that have been hit with whatever's going around. But praise the Lord, we're able to be here today. But the next reason we have to praise God is the fact that He loved us so much that He sent the second person of the Godhead, His Son, Jesus Christ, to go to a cross, to shed His blood, to redeem us back to Himself. And that's what God thinks of you. If you ever look in the mirror and have trouble with an inferiority complex, don't look at yourself as you see yourself. Strive to understand how God sees you, because that's how much God thinks of you. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. That's how much God thinks of you. And He redeemed us through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And let the Church of Jesus Christ this morning rejoice in that. Amen? And amen. It's good to see you all here this morning. Let's open up with a word of prayer as we begin. Father, I do thank You that You've watched over us, that You care for us. I thank You for the redeeming blood that we pause to sing about and think about and rejoice over. I praise You for it. I praise You, Lord, that You have a plan for us in this life, and yet it's a plan that extends so far beyond this life. It's an eternal plan in an eternal kingdom. We have life forevermore. I praise You for that. Bless this service today. I pray for the many who are not able to be here today just because of sickness that's been going around. We pray that You would watch over them, give them health and healing. I pray, Father, that You would bless our gathering here today. Might we, our hearts rejoice in You and leave here strengthened because of our time together. I pray this for Your glory. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Victory in Jesus and Amazing Grace. Those two songs go together. Praise the Lord. We have victory because of grace, and without grace, we'd have no victory. Because you can't earn victory. I can't earn the victory. Jesus Christ came, did it for us. That is our victory. And opening up that gift is the exploration of the Christian life. And in my opinion, it holds all the elements of discipleship and growth in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The fact that somebody, through grace, brought us the victory. Amen for that. And what a great way to start the new year, just thinking about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 46 this morning. Psalms chapter 46. Psalms 46, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll go to the scriptures here this morning. Father, I thank You again for the past, just to pause and look back at the past and say Your goodness and Your mercy, always there following us. Sometimes in the moment we look and we wonder, are You there or where are You? Or sometimes, God, we just pause and wonder, are you listening? And yet You're an ever-present help. Very present in the trouble, regardless of what we may feel in the moment, You're there. I thank You for that. Thank You just for the way You've been with this church. You've had Your hand on this church because it is Your church. I praise You for that. Thank You, Father, for the strength that You've given us, for the encouragement, for the enlightenment, for the joy, and for faith for the journey. I thank You for that. I pray that You would bless this message this morning from Your word. I pray that it would truly be Your spirit, that You would help and strengthen us all in ways that we need. I ask this in Your name. Amen. I spoke last week from a Psalms that is familiar because one in Psalms chapter 90, and you don't have to necessarily turn back to it. I'll read from Psalms 46 in a moment. But in Psalms 90 and verse 10, it says, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." And God gives us in the scripture the limitation of life here in this world. And I understand there are people who live beyond 80 and whatnot, but you have an average age somewhere around 70 to the mid 70s typically. I think that's still our average lifespan today and whatnot. But you have 70 years and 10, that's 70 years. If for whatever reason, due to strength, you make it into your 80s, so be it. But the purpose of our years, Psalms 90 and verse 12 says, is to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What's the purpose of knowing 70? What's the purpose in knowing maybe 80 years? What's the purpose in knowing that? And God said, the purpose of understanding the limitation of time is so that you can wisely spend your time, because time truly is currency. It's like money. We spend it. Unlike money, you really can't save it. Every day we're spending it. And God said, just pause and spend the time wisely. If you don't understand the limitation of time, you will probably misspend time because you don't realize you only have so much time. If you don't understand the limitations of the money, you might misspend your first dollar because you don't understand the value of it as if it's your last dollar. And we tend to get foolish when we don't stop and understand the limitations of what we have to spend. And so God said, use your time wisely. Use your time to purchase wisdom. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Oh, there is the wisdom of salvation. There is the wisdom that's found in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There is a wisdom in the cross in Mount Calvary. There is a wisdom that enlightens us to the good nature of God and the will of God, that He purposes to call men to return to Him. For we have all gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way. And God in His mercy stands and cries out to man in his paths of destruction. God calls out, return, O children of men, return. And God in His mercy has made a way for man to be reconciled back to the Godhead, to find eternal life through Jesus Christ and the shed blood. Oh, this wisdom, the wisdom of the new covenant. And Paul unfolds in the New Testament scriptures so beautifully the riches of the grace of the new covenant. And this is the wisdom of God purposed in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Oh, may we apply our hearts to open up this thing called grace, this thing called salvation, this gift from God. May we open the box and find out the deep riches that exist within it, that will draw us close to God, help us to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus somebody. I don't care how the world defines you. I don't care how your job defines you. It may define you on the upper end or the lower end. I don't care where your job places you in the eyes of other people. God sees you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And if God sent His Son to redeem you back through the cross of Calvary, that makes you something incredible in the eyes of God. I don't know who in this room would shed blood for me, but I know one who did. I know one who shed blood for you. And when you're willing to shed blood for a friend, there is no greater love than that. If you're willing to shed blood for somebody, you think the world of that person, or you wouldn't do that. And God thinks the world of you. Oh, may we understand this wisdom. No one is truly ready to be prosperous in soul who does not understand the wisdom and the knowledge of the cross of Jesus Christ and what it means in your relationship with God. Oh, may we have this wisdom. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Man may make money, but money cannot fill the void that can only be filled by the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of what God did through Jesus Christ on the cross. The purpose of our days. Psalms 46 is a psalms that's probably most famous for verse 10, where it says, be still and know that I am God. It's a powerful phrase. Be still and know that I am God. George walked in this morning. He has on his scripture tie, and Psalms 46:10 is the verse on his tie. So I don't know what that means, but that's got to mean something's going on today. When this is the passage and he has on the tie, I think the Spirit is at work this morning. So we've got witness and witness together and put Scripture with it. So be still and know that I am God. I don't typically have like a theme for my life from one year to the next, and oftentimes people do, and oftentimes churches do. Churches have themes for the year. But if I had to say this is my theme, just personally in my own life for 2020, this would be my verse for 2020. Just be still. And know something in the stillness. Know that God knows how to be God. Sometimes to discover that, it takes the stillness. Sometimes to discover that, we have to find passive strength. Passive strength. Strength that doesn't come from our humanity. It's outside of our humanity. It's actually God being strong, and we stand passively by and watch Him be God strong. God strong. I kind of like the idea of God, give me the strength too. That's active strength. I'm asking God to give me the strength to do it. And God doesn't always work that way. Now, God can. If God wants to work through a sling and a stone, supercharge that thing and put it in the hands of a boy and say, go get him, God can do that. But God doesn't always do that. Sometimes God says, no, I'm going to have your hands tied up and the fire is going to be 7 times hotter and you're going to have to just be thrown into it. And I'm not going to give you any strength. I'm going to step into the middle of it and be your strength. The only thing you will be able to do is be still and know I'm God. You will be a passive participant in the strength of God. And there's times that's the way it works in life. Because when we're passive in the participation, then we know it truly is all God. I know Him best when He gives me no strength at all. Oh God, give me strength. Oh God, give me what I need to do this. And so often God does just the opposite. He takes all of our strength away and says, would you please know that I am God and I can do this. Be still and know that I am God. Let's begin at the beginning of the chapter because it's a beautiful chapter. Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. A refuge is a place of safety. God is our refuge. We may seek refuge somewhere else other than God, but God is our only true refuge. God's the only one. Over in the Gospel of John, Jesus said it of himself like this, I am the true vine. There are many vines, but there's only one true vine. The vine is the life-giving root from which the branch draws its existence. And Jesus said, I'm the only true vine. If a branch wants to get hooked up with a vine that can truly give life, there's only one, and it's Jesus Christ. Be careful of the vines that promise life but cannot give it. Be careful of your attaching yourself to something that cannot truly deliver and give life. Oh, money is a powerful thing. It's incredibly powerful. I gave you my money lesson for life last week about compounded interest and all that. The simple fact is, I don't really care if you're ever a millionaire or not. Simple fact is, I don't care if my kids ever follow through or not. Because I'm really not about money. I'm okay with understanding money. I'm okay with being like the ant, diligent, always at it. I'm okay with saving for the future. I'm okay with exploring that wisdom. But if that wisdom ever got in the way of the true life-giving vine, I'd rather somebody be flat, broke, busted in life, wondering how they were going to eat their next meal than to be totally grafted into a vine that cannot give life. Money is a vine that cannot give life. Don't find your life in money. Don't think that $1 million, a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is going to be life-giving. It's not life-giving. I'm all for financial wisdom, financial planning. I'm all for that. But it's not a vine that can give life, and it's not a place of refuge in the day of trouble, because God said, don't forget, every single dollar bill you have, it has little wings on the back. And when it's time to fly away, it can fly away and you never see it again. There are millionaires who have gone from millionaire to flat broke. It happens because money is not a refuge. It's not a refuge. And it will never fill the void in the soul. That takes the true vine, Jesus Christ. Oh, God is our refuge. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what storm is coming your way. I don't know what wind is blowing. I don't know what 2020 has for any of us. But maybe it's just a good thought to take with us as a church, more importantly, as individuals in the body of Christ. Let's just take forward the thought that there might just be some times where God says, just be still. He didn't say to the storm, be still. He said to you, to me, be still. And no, I'm big enough to take care of this. He may not give you strength for the year ahead. He may not. He may choose to be your strength instead. And you must passively traverse the storm and the wind, watching God do what only He can do. So be still and know that I am God. God is our refuge, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Not every refuge has the strength necessary to survive the storm that will come against it. If a tornado is coming, don't run to a house of straw. It's the wrong place of refuge. Mama Pig had 3 little pigs and said, you must now leave. I cannot care for you anymore. You must all go and seek your own fortunes. And the 3 little pigs left home. And the first little pig was kind of a lazy pig, and he built his house out of straw because it was easy. The second one was not so lazy, but not so industrious either. He built his house out of sticks. But oh, the third was very industrious and built his house out of bricks and even built a fireplace and a chimney and had a wonderful house. And then the big bad wolf came, right? And the big bad wolf huffed and he puffed on the first little house. And he blew the house down, and the pig had to run to the second house. The wolf went over to the second house and huffed and puffed and blew the house down, and the 2 little pigs had to run to the third house. And in the third house, the big bad wolf huffed and puffed but could not blow the house down, tried to get down the chimney, but the pig built a fire and boiled the water, and the wolf fell in the water, and they put the lid on the pot, and they boiled the wolf. It's your story for today. If you want to read it, it's somewhere in the Old Testament. I don't remember the passage exactly, but it's in there somewhere. Just be careful where you take refuge. If it's not strong enough for that threat which comes against it, the threat will huff and it will puff and it will blow your house down. Wise is the man who builds his house on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the floods come against it and things shake, the house stands firm, for it's founded upon a refuge stronger than the storm. I don't know what storms are going to blow in 2020. There will be storms. May God give us some clear skies, but clear skies are always followed by storm. I don't know the severity. I don't know what will happen in 2020. We never know from year to year, but God is our refuge, and whatever the storm is, God is the refuge stronger than the storm. God is our refuge and strength. He is a refuge strong enough for whatever storm comes against it. And then it says, a very present help in trouble. This is a beautiful promise, but it's not always felt. So let's talk about things sometimes from our human perspective. It's a beautiful promise. In our humanity, sometimes we fail to feel it. Sometimes in our humanity, we are like Job. It's so dark, we question, is this too dark for God? Sometimes we question and say, I looked before me. I looked behind me, I looked to the left, and I looked to the right. I looked to both sides to find someone who could help me. I found no one, and God was not there. I looked back to the past, and I couldn't find anything in the past that could help me. So I looked to the future, and I saw nothing but more darkness. I had no hope in my future. I looked 360 degrees. I couldn't find anything. God, where are you? It feels as though he's not present. You ever been through something and you go, I just don't feel God in this? You ever walked in the house at night and you turn on all the lights in the house because you just don't want to be in the dark? You ever gone to rooms and you turned on lights you're not even in because you just don't like to feel the dark? Because there's things going on. The dark is uncomfortable. Spiritually, it gets dark, and we look around and we go, I'm sorry. I can read the promise. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Okay, it says that, but I don't feel it. It feels like I'm in a room, the lights are off, everything's dark, and I can't see God anywhere. And in spite of that, and by the way, God can take our complaints. Don't play spiritual with God. Just be real. He can take it. But the Bible does give us a promise. The farther we traverse in life, the more we have to look back on, the more we can say, yeah, God was there. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel him. But he was there. And he's very present. It doesn't just say he's present. It says he's very present, like he's very attentive, like he's very there, like he totally gets it. He knows. Oh, yeah, he does. Sometimes you can be in a room, but you ain't there. You ever been in a room with someone and they glaze over and you realize they're not in this room right now? Only in body, but they just went somewhere else. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm back. Sometimes it feels like, okay, God's in the room, but he's glazed over. I don't know what he's doing. He's thinking about other people. He's working in other lives. Nothing's going on in my life. It's dark, dark, and darker. And the only thing I can see 360 degrees is darkness, but I don't feel God. But the Bible says, oh, he's totally present, like very present. Job, do you feel God? No. You realize the man had 10 graves he was looking at? The man buried 10 children. Naomi buried the 3 men in her life. Nobody else to turn to. But a Moabite woman from an idolatrous land that was actually forbidden to the Jewish people. And yet God was all over everything going on in her world. God was all over, very present, totally aware and tuned in to everything going on in Job's life. You may not feel it. You may go to bed, toss, turn, spend a sleepless night and wonder where God is. And the only thing you have is words on a page and restlessness in your heart as you wonder, where is he? Well, the fact is, he is a refuge. The fact is, he is stronger than the storm. The fact is, he's very present. Life may suggest otherwise. Circumstances may suggest otherwise. The feeling inside of you may suggest otherwise. But the fact is, he's very present in trouble. Verse 2. Therefore, because of that, therefore will not we fear. Therefore, because of that, because he is a refuge, because he's stronger than the storm that's raging, even though he hasn't stilled the storm and there's trouble all around, I know he's present in the middle of it, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the midst of the fire. God was all over that thing. And then lo and behold, he shows up right there in the middle of it. Does not put out the fire. Does not initially take them out of the fire. but he shows up to be present with them in the fire. Therefore, will not we fear. Now, I don't believe that necessarily means we will not feel fear, but we don't have to listen to it. We may feel fear, but we can make our decisions based on the fact that God is present, He is a refuge, and He will be our strength. And if we must stand still and do nothing and wait on God for deliverance, then we will, by faith, stand still in the midst of the trouble, and we will speak to the fear and say, I'm going to trust God. And if I have to toss and turn all night, then I'll toss and turn all night, but I'm going to trust God. If I have to wake up with a pit in my stomach and I don't know if I can eat breakfast, I'll wake up with a pit in my stomach and I'll do my best to get breakfast down, but I'm going to trust God. Somehow, some way in this storm, I'm going to stand still to see the salvation of my God. So we may feel the fear, but we don't have to listen to it. We may have trouble getting the food to go down, but we don't have to make our decisions based on the fear. We can keep our eyes on God. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed. That's serious. That's serious trouble. I don't know what your trouble is, but the trouble here, there's some description attached to it. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Man, that's some serious stuff going on. I mean, California hasn't quaked like this. I've felt some tremors out there in California before. Never been through a big quake out there. I've felt some tremors out there. But this, the description here, though the earth be removed and the mountains go into the sea, California hasn't, they haven't seen that. And yet, though all of that be going on, it says God is still our refuge, He is still our strength, and He is very present, even when the earth is being removed, even when the mountains are being carried into the midst of the sea. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar, the roaring waters, and be troubled. Oh, these are troubled waters. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And then it gives us this one little word, Selah. It's actually, it denotes like a rest in a musical score. Just stop the music and let there be a rest, a silence. In other words, let your ears and your heart focus on what you just heard. Though all of this is going on and God is not stopping it, we will not fear, for we have a refuge and a strength. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. In other words, God's not going to stop that from happening. Though the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea, God's not going to stop that from happening. Oh God, let this quaking stop! And this Psalms tells us to just stop for a moment and rest and realize God is not going to always make it stop. He's there to be your refuge and strength as you go through it. Though the earth be removed, and God won't stop it. Though the mountains are going to be carried into the midst of the sea, God won't stop it. Though the waters are going to roar and be troubled, and God will not say to the waters, cease, be still. Oh, He can do that. But there's times He won't. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Though all of that's going on, we will not fear. We will go to our refuge. We will find in Him His strength, not ours, and we will discover, it may take time, it may not be today, but you will in time discover that God was very present in all of it, in all of it. And sometimes God is using the shaking because He has things He wants to carry away. There are things He wants to tear down. Because the simple fact is, oftentimes in life, we have baggage and it's got to go. Sometimes God shakes life because He wants something to go. And it takes shaking. Sometimes there's a mountain and God says, this mountain has been here too long. We need to take this mountain, cast it into the sea and be done with it. Sometimes there's something that's been a stronghold for too long and God says, we're going to tear it down. Sometimes there's something in the past. God needs to pick it up and get it out of the way. Because we can't always take all of our baggage with us as we journey through life. And sometimes God has to separate us from those things that will keep us from moving forward into a place of blessedness. Sometimes the baggage is not baggage we even intentionally pick up. Sometimes it's baggage that's thrust on us through lives we didn't even choose. You ever looked at aspects of your life and say, I didn't even choose this? There's kids who grow up in circumstances and you just look at it, they didn't even choose that. And oftentimes we look at those kids and those kids just become sometimes just bad kids because they can be very difficult to be around, but they're growing up in circumstances they didn't even choose. And they're ending up with loads of baggage that they're carrying in all the flaws and the faults that they carry through life and the struggles. It's baggage. And sometimes God says, I'm going to shake your world because I'm going to shake loose some things. It's time to get rid of. We're going to cast it into the sea. We're going to let the waters swell and the waters are going to take it away. Sometimes the baggage isn't always visible. Sometimes it's the most dangerous baggage. It's very, very deep and all covered up, nice and sweet, and nobody would ever know. But God, who loves us and cares, knows everything. And sometimes He lets life shake us so that we can be separated from what we don't need to carry, so that He can take us to verse 4. Oh. I know verse 4 doesn't start with, oh, oh, oh. I know it doesn't start that way. I'm throwing this one in. Oh, there is a river. It's not a troubled river. Oh, no. It's not a river that swells and shakes and roars. No. Oh, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. There's a river that flows. People are looking for the water of life, but there's a river that truly gives it. The man by the pool of Bethesda was waiting for waters to stir so that he could find healing in those waters. But God never purposed that he would find healing in the waters there at that pool. He would not find those waters to be his healing waters because there's a river that was headed his way. There was a river that was making its way back and forth into his life. A river called Jesus Christ. Jesus looked at the man and said, you want to be made whole? You don't need those waters. I'm living water. And I can make you whole. Oh, by the way, if we just backed up the stream a little ways, just before he flowed into that man's life to give him healing, just before that, he'd been to the well to meet the woman. with her watering pot because she came to the same well over and over again to draw the same water over and over again to try to satisfy something that was thirsty inside of her over and over again. And if you want to understand what the well was in her life, her real well in life was marriage and a man who could satisfy her and make her happy. And she was trying to drink from that well, and she came up dry time and time again until, oh, there is a river that flowed into her life one day and gave her life she had never known, peace she had never experienced, love she had never seen from a man before. That's the river that makes glad the city of God. That's the river we drink from. The peace that passes understanding. So be still. Wait for the river to make its way. Be still and understand that God is the refuge in the storm. Be still and know His strength, because He may not give you the strength. 2020 may be the year you don't get strength. And it's totally crazy, but it'll be the best year of your life. Because in that, God says, just stand still. I'm going to do this one. No sling, no stone, no jawbone to fight the fight with. You don't get anything except the beautiful, amazing discipline of stillness. Shh. God's going to work. Joseph, don't try to climb out of that pit. Be still. And when God's ready, He's got people lined up, going to come over and pull you out, take you somewhere else where you have to be still. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place. Oh, the holy place. You know, joy and holiness go together, and holiness brings joy. God and holiness and joy, they all go together. Holiness is not an overly somber, dark place to be. Oh no, it's a glad, happy, joyful place to be. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. God will not be moved. God is our helper. God is very present. Verse 10 tells us, be still. Just be still. Say, Pastor Skip, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Okay, try this one. Be still. I don't have the medicine for the tossing and the turning and the sleepless night. Only God can help you with that. I don't have the medicine for the feeling of fear. I don't necessarily have the medicine that makes the darkness go away. But in it all, just be still. And know that I am God. Maybe we cannot truly know God until we're so surrounded by trouble that stillness is the only thing we can do. Maybe that's truly the only way to really intimately know the strength of God. So in 2020, I'm not God, I'm not a prophet this morning, but maybe the message is, don't look for the jawbone of an ass with which to fight your battles. You may not get it. Don't look for a sling and a stone. God may not give it. You may find yourself somewhat bound hand and foot in your trouble, not knowing what to do, where to turn, how to work your way through it. And the only thing you can do is be still. Don't struggle against the ropes. Just be still. And when you're thrown into the fire, by faith, not fear, trust that somehow, some way, God will show up in the fire, prove himself to be a refuge and a strength more powerful than the trouble that has come against you. So be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I'll read this statement that I wrote out and I'll be done. Sometimes in the midst of the chaos, we must become still and let God remove what he wants to remove, carry away that which is in our way, shake the shakeable so that we can emerge into a place where there is a river which makes glad the soul. Maybe, just maybe, that's a good thought for 2020. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you that you are a refuge. Thank you that you're stronger than the storms and the swelling seas. I thank you that though fear may be present and fear may be felt in our humanity, we may feel it. You are nonetheless very present, working the plan, shaking that which needs to be shaken, removing that which needs to be removed, carrying away that which needs to be carried away, so that we can emerge into a place where we drink deeply of the river of life that makes glad the soul through which we are established in life. Help us, Father, each individually in the year ahead. Help us corporately as a church to know the power and the strength of being still and knowing that you are God. Amen and amen. God said, be still. Be still in tongue. That's a hard one. Be still in tongue. Be still in action. Because by nature, we want to take action. What can I do? What can I do? There may be nothing. So just be still in action. Be still in response. A response is not necessary. Stillness is not apathy. Stillness is not ineptness. Stillness is not laziness. Stillness is the quietness within that knows God to be a refuge and strength and a very present help in our need. Sometimes in marriage, sometimes in parenting, sometimes within the church, sometimes in the workplace, there's just a need to be still. Otherwise, you will get swept away by the swelling seas and the shaking of the earth and the mountains. Stillness will anchor you in your refuge. Stillness. Be still. I love all of you. Thank you for the past almost two, and just not quite 2.5 years. Looking forward to 2020 and what God has to do for us here at Victory and Grace. Be in prayer for our families that have little kids, because most of them have just been hit with the bug going around. So be in prayer for that to pass. And be back tonight, 6 o'clock tonight. Looking forward to this evening's service. And let's dismiss with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for Psalms 90 that we looked at last week. You are from everlasting to everlasting. You have given to us the limitations of time. I pray that you would help us to spend our time to discover the wisdom that draws us close to you. The wisdom of grace. The wisdom of the new covenant, Lord Jesus, signed in your blood. Thank you for Psalms chapter 46. That sometimes in life you bring us to a place where everything is shaking and it's trouble all around. And yet you invite us to a place of refuge, strong enough to weather the storm. Therefore, we will not fear. Fear will not run the show. We will trust in you. And in doing so, we can know you, the power of your strength. I thank you for that. Bless us as we go our separate ways. I pray that you will anoint and work powerfully in the service this evening. And I pray for your glory. Amen. You are dismissed.